And now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about finding inner peace. Several years ago, the popular musical team, Simon and Garfunkel, recorded the Christmas carol, Silent Night, with sounds of news reports and gunfire in the background. It was during the Vietnam War, and no one could miss the irony of it all. We could do something similar today with the headlines of our newspapers that scream murder and drive-by shootings and gang wars and war in Iraq and terrorists and car bombings. To be honest, the first Christmas wasn't that different either. Although the birth of our Savior in Bethlehem received little notice at the time, the Jerusalem Chronicle, had there been a newspaper at that time, might have carried the headlines, King Herod marries again, refuses pleas from his former queen, Caesar raises taxes and calls for a new census, and creates a hardship for the poor, two merchants were murdered on their way to Jericho Road, a man swindled out of his property, and that was the kind of world into which Jesus was born, to which the angels came singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Was it all foolishness? Didn't the angels know about the human nature and the tragedies of life? It's important to know what is meant by the word peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Shalom means richness and fullness of being. It has to do with the gentle, prosperous times when farms were blessed with the abundance of crops and families were blessed with children and the cattle were fertile with offsprings and the towns and cities were thriving with trade and friendship. Wouldn't it be great to have that kind of peace when everyone works together in harmony? I was talking with a man this past week, and we were talking about heaven, and he said, "Won't it be wonderful to be in a place where everybody loves everybody and there isn't any gangs or graffiti or crime or wars?" That's what shalom is and what peace means. It's obvious that the coming of Jesus didn't immediately bring peace to the Roman Empire or peace to the little country of Jericho, of Judah. In fact, during Jesus' entire lifetime, he had little peace. People hounded him, disagreed with him, challenged his teachings, and finally beat him and crucified him. It's strange that his followers, after they too were beaten and imprisoned, continued to speak and write about the peace Jesus had brought to them. And yet, they had peace or shalom in spite of their persecutions and their sufferings for the gospel. It always amazes me to think of the Apostle Paul. Think about this in our own lives. He writes in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, "I have been in prison many times, whipped 5 times, given 39 lashes, 3 times whipped by the Romans. Once I was stoned and left for dead. I have been in 3 shipwrecks, once spent 24 hours in the water. In my travels, I've been in danger from floods and robbers and dangers in the wilds and in the cities. And I have gone without sleep, and I have been hungry and thirsty, and I've often been without food and shelter and clothing, not to mention everyday pressures." And yet this same Paul closes this same book of 2 Corinthians with, "Strive for perfection. Agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Jesus said to his disciples just before he left them in John, the 14th chapter and the 27th verse, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." That's really peace, and that's real peace. Paul had that kind of peace in spite of his life of terror and suffering, and so did all the other disciples, even though all of them, except the disciple John, died tragic deaths. Christian peace is inner peace. Even in the most tragic of situations. It's like the old man living in a run-down tenement building. Gangs roamed the streets outside, writing graffiti on the walls, destroying mailboxes, terrorizing the elderly citizens when they went to the stores. Behind his tenement, a wrecking ball crashed into a nearby building and a jackhammer continually broke the silence. A reporter asked the old man, "How can you stand to live here?" And the old man smiled and he pointed to a small crucifix on the wall. And then he said, "He creates a little circle of quiet. Haven't you noticed it?" That's the kind of peace we're thinking about this morning. It's that it is what Christmas is all about. The peace of inner fullness that comes from knowing the Savior of the world. He creates a circle of quiet in each of us, no matter what our situation in life. One more illustration of shalom or peace in our world. Sabrina Warmbrun wrote a book entitled "The Pastor's Wife." Sabrina's husband was an evangelical pastor in Romania during the Nazi occupation. They survived the World War II, but when the communists took over, they were imprisoned. He and his wife were imprisoned in different labor camps. In her book, she describes the incredible hardships and suffering by the 3,000 women in the camp called Canal. They worked at hard labor every day and were given only thin soup and bread to eat. Their clothes weren't sufficient for the bitter cold days of winter, and they slept packed into unheated barracks, and many of them died from malnutrition and exposure. One evening, a woman named Cornelia came to Sabrina's cot and said, "I've got something to tell you." Her face was filled with joy as she talked. She dreamed a dream, she said, and she had fallen asleep that night before in her clothes. All at once, she was in a big field, and as far as her eye could see, she saw flowers. The air was filled with a sweet fragrance, and her daughter was with her. There was the songs of the birds, and the clouds of butterflies filled the air with beautiful colors. She said, "I felt such tranquility of the spirit. All the beauty of majesty of the earth seemed to be gathered in one place." A beautiful woman came to her, and she seemed to look gentle into her heart, and she handed her a bunch of white lilies of the valley. And, the fragrance was so sweet, she exclaimed to Cornelia. "It hasn't left me yet." From the center of the field, she heard a voice of a man that said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And then she woke up and realized she was still in the prison camp. She could hear the sounds of the other women weeping and sighing and snoring all around her. The terrible prison guards were still there. But when they banged the rail at 5 a.m., she said, "I got up and I went out to the quarries as if I'd been dancing in the meadows." She could still see the flowers and smell their fragrance. She could still hear the man's voice and see the woman who handed her the flowers, and she looked with new eyes on the thousands of small kindnesses and beauties and signs and wonders of God's presence. She had peace in her heart that could not be taken away by the raw, ugly surroundings of the prison camp. It is real. It's not some fiction dreamed up to sound good for Christmas. It is the peace of God that Paul says passes all understanding and will keep your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus our Lord. This Christian peace will stay in our minds and our hearts if we will accept into our lives and accept our Lord into our lives. One personal illustration. As many of you know, and probably you've heard me say this too many times, I was a rifleman on the front lines in World War II, and I had 220 days on and ahead of the front lines in three campaigns. It was a living hell, the most destructive experience any human being could live through. Even 60 years later, I still cannot watch a war movie because of the horrible memories that it brings to my mind. When I prayed out there on the front line and asked God to come into my life, take over my life, and give me peace, He did. And like that man, that old man in the tenement building, and I had a circle of peace around me. This Christian peace, Paul writes about, comes into my heart and my life, and it has never left me. It is real, and it is God's peace, and it will come into anyone's life if they ask for it. What I'm trying to say this morning is, we can all have real Christian peace in spite of our circumstances in life if we really trust God completely with our lives, if we determine to seek and find Him by reading a page a day in the Psalms and the Proverbs and a page a day in the New Testament in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and then listen for God's Word as He speaks to us. If we pray and believe without doubt that God will supply answers to our problems and our needs and heal our bodies and our minds and our souls. And if we worship Him with others seeking Him every Sunday, it will happen and in us, and we will experience real peace in our bodies, our minds, and our souls this morning. And that first Christmas, the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." Do you have this peace in your heart and your life this morning? Now is the time to ask God to come into your life and give you that peace. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer, and let's ask God to send His peace and love into our hearts and our lives. And just pray, "Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins, and give me your peace and love." In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, send your peace and your love into our lives during this Christmas season. Help us to experience that peace for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.